Anything that's happened to you or anything that you've heard about in recent days or weeks that has surprised you? Anybody like to tell us about something that's happened that's been a surprise? Might have been a good surprise, might have been a shock. Something you've heard about? Anybody got any ideas? Yeah?
The English cricket team,
well, yeah, they won a one-day match. They've been winning test matches, but yeah, they won a one-day game after lots of defeats. Yeah, good point. Bit of a shock, bit of a surprise. Good one, if you're English, not Indian. Anybody else got a surprise? I don't know about you, but I was quite surprised this week to hear that Hull City, who, of course, only a relatively short period of time ago were a fairly low-ranked English football team, now in the Premier League, and able to buy several world-class players in one day. Quite a surprise. The Daily Telegraph's headline was, "A Hull of a Deal." They thought it was that good. Well, that was quite a surprise. The Hull Daily Mail's headline, one of them this week, was "Drunken Birthday Boy Fined for Stupidity After Staggering Down the A63. Apparently, police received a call from a member of the public saying that this guy was wandering down the westbound carriageway shortly before 4 in the morning with his arms kind of wandering, waving around and so on. And it turned out that he was returning from a birthday party where his so-called friends had been plying him with drink, and he was in a terrible state trying to get home. Perhaps it wasn't a surprise that the man ended up getting fined. Well, I guess it would have been a positive surprise a few years ago that Lloyd and Lindsay and Matthew and Jenny would have been here having a special celebration and service for their lovely daughters. A very positive and happy surprise. Well, this morning we read from the Bible a true incident which must have caused great surprise to the main characters. We were reading from the book that's called the Acts of the Apostles. It might be better called the Acts of the Risen Jesus by his Holy Spirit through his apostles, his messengers. Well, Jesus had died on the cross and then risen again. And his friends had been transformed by what had happened. And then they set about the task of passing on this great news to other people. Now, things weren't easy, but we read in the book that the word of God continued to spread and flourish. Well, by chapter 16 that we read from, the early Christians had reached what we now call Europe for the first time, and in particular the city of Philippi. Now, Philippi was a Greek city, and the people there believed in the Roman and Greek gods. But a very small number of them knew about the true and living God from the Old Testament. And so they would meet down by the river to pray every Sabbath day. This was the custom when there weren't enough people to be able to build a building to do it in. Well, then the Christians, led by the Apostle Paul and with his friends, decided to go to this place of prayer as they were in Philippi and share the good news of Jesus. And when they were there, they met this very impressive businesswoman called Lydia. And we're told that she heard the message of Jesus and that the Lord opened her heart. In other words, Jesus enabled her to believe in him. Well, a bit later, the Christians went down to the place of prayer again, and this time they were met by a very disturbed young woman. And she started to cause them a lot of trouble by shouting out whilst they were trying to communicate. She kept saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God, and they're telling you the way to be saved." Well, Paul, the leader, prayed for this young girl, and she calmed down. Now, there was a problem with this, really, because she was a slave girl, and she'd been able to predict people's futures, and so the people who owned her were able to make a lot of money out of it. But after she'd been prayed for and restored, she wasn't able to do that anymore. It was actually quite a sinister thing that she did. But, of course, her owners weren't pleased at all, and so they stirred up all the local people, and they got Paul and his team flung into prison, even though they didn't deserve it. It was a great surprise to Paul and his friends because, indeed, they'd not done anything to deserve being put in prison. So we read that when they had inflicted many blows on Paul and his friends, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Now, I don't suppose there were newspapers in those days. Printing hadn't been invented and so on. But if there had been, you could imagine one of those news billboards, those newsstands, with a headline that was something like this: "Breaking news, Paul put in prison." Now, if somebody would like to come and just hold that up for me. Somebody just come and hold that for me, will they? That's very good of you, sir. Thank you very much. If you hold that up so people can see it. Now, of course, they weren't just imprisoned. We read that having received this order, the jailer put Paul and his friends into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, a headline writer liking alliteration, you know, phrases that begin with the same letter, words in a phrase that begin with the same letter, might have said something like this. Feet fashioned in Philippi. Who's going to come and hold this up for us? We've got a volunteer over there. Thank you very much. You might just need to move along a bit. You can squeeze through somewhere, probably here. Paul put in prison, feet fastened in Philippi. But then something very surprising indeed happened. We read that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were fastened. Now, perhaps the local rag would have had something like this on its front page. Doors dashed down. Who's going to hold this one? Are you two girls going to hold it? That's very good. You can hold it between you if you want. You just hold it like that. You might need two hands. That's well done. That's lovely. Well done. Don't give a hand. That's good. Now, for the jailer, this was pretty catastrophic. You see, the thing was that he knew that there were no excuses for prisoners escaping on his watch. And now all his captives' chains had been broken and the doors were open. They could easily get out. He was so shocked, he decided that he would rather die than live. Now, what happened next might have been described like this. We've had Paul put in prison, feet fastened in Philippi, doors dashed down. You can solve that one for us. Keeper converted to Christ. You see, when Paul saw what the jail keeper was about to do, he shouted out, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." You see, Paul had some very good news for this jailer. The prisoners had not run away, and so his job was safe and his life was not on the line. Well, the jailer called then for lights, and he rushed in, and he was filled with fear, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out of the prison. He said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" You see, the jailkeeper, through what had happened, seemed to have been shaken to the core and reminded that actually in his life were all sorts of things that weren't good. And he began to realize that he needed to be sorry to God. His life was not what it should have been. He'd failed God. He'd believed in all these false gods before, but he now realized that the true and living God wanted to be involved with his life. Perhaps he'd heard that slave girl when she'd been shouting out about how people can be saved through the message of Paul and his friends. And he'd become aware that he needed God, the true God, to save him, to rescue him. So he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, it's a good thing to think about that question and imagine a friend coming up to you and saying, "What must I do to be saved?" What would you say to them? How would you explain the heart of the Christian message? It's worth thinking about that, giving some time to being prepared to give an answer. Well, Paul and his friends gave a straight answer to a straight question. What must I do to be saved? And actually, on the other side is the answer that they gave. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Now, we're told that Paul and his friends spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Now, we know from the rest of the book of Acts that the message that they shared involves helping people to realise that the true God has made himself known to us in lots of ways in our lives. Not least in that he has given us so much, like giving rain and fruitful seasons, satisfying human hearts with food and good things. But all of us are in great need. We've all turned away from God and we've spoiled his world. And as a result, we deserve God to judge us. We need forgiveness of sins. But wonderfully, God has sent his son, Jesus, into the world. And he died on the cross, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of their sins. People who turn back to God and rely on what he has done find that in Jesus we have been bought with his own blood. And this has all been proved true because God raised Jesus from the dead and caused him to be seen. So the message is summarized here. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Turn back to God. Rely on what Jesus has done in dying for sins and rising again. And like Paul and his fellow prisoners who were rescued from being held captive by chains in prison, we can be set free from our sins and know that God forgives us and know that we have a new purpose in life of serving him in his world and making him known to other people. Well, I wonder who needs to hear that message and indeed respond to it this morning. Who needs to decide to give some time to think carefully about Jesus and his claims and how he wants us to respond to those claims. Well, the jailkeeper and his family showed that they had turned back to God and they had believed in Jesus because they showed that they wanted to have God at the centre of their lives by helping the Christians who had shared the message with them. We read that they washed the wounds of Paul and Silas and their friends. They'd been beaten, remember. And then we hear that they showed that they believed because the jailer was baptized at once, he and all his family. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. He'd come to believe the message of Jesus who died and rose again. Well, it's true, isn't it, that from time to time there are a number of surprises that we hear about. They might be in sport or locally or in the world at large. And often the newspapers will report them. Well, this morning we've read of the surprising escape of those early believers and the surprising change that was brought about in the life of a man and his family who previously had believed in imaginary gods but had come to see that he needed the rescue of the true God. We've heard, if you turn your turn it round again, we've heard that Paul was put in prison, that his feet were fastened as he was there in chains, that the earthquake happened and the doors were dashed down, and then the keeper, initially full of fear, came to believe in Jesus. A man and his family received a surprising escape, not just from their earthly situation, but from the problem of their sins, of turning away from God. The jail keeper's question was, what must I do to be saved? The answer was, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Thank you very much to my friends. If you'd like to go and take a seat. Thank you. And let's just have a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made yourself known to us in Jesus. And we thank you that through him we can be saved, we can be rescued, we can be brought back to you. We pray that you'd work in our hearts. Help us to grasp the heart of the message of Jesus. And we ask for his sake. Amen.